James, how are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. Yourself?
I'm doing very well. For folks who don't know what the Mackinac Center does, can you explain for us?
We are a state-based think tank that focuses only on Michigan policy, and we are committed to providing free market perspective, and we also do a lot of other things. We report on every single vote that goes through the Michigan legislature. We have a daily news source, and we also do studies. In this case, we worked on a study on Michigan's two major pension plans.
Well, I had the opportunity to take a look at that study. The state's two largest government and school employee pension plans are likely to receive increased scrutiny under the new Snyder administration and a new legislature. Talk about these two different pension plans.
Well, I hope there's going to be scrutiny because we have two plans, one for the state employees, one for the public school employees, but they both face a major essential problem, and that's the state has not set enough money aside to pay for their generous benefits. Currently, right now, if we didn't add any more members, if we didn't rack up any more pension liabilities, the state would be in the hole by $15.1 billion in these plans. That's about $1,500 per Michigander. So this is really an area that's ripe for reform. And we looked at it and we compared Michigan's pension the benefits. You know, how much are you entitled to get if you retire with so many years at so many pensions. We compared that to what 22 major private sector employees were doing. And it should be no surprise that the government benefits wound up being far higher than the private sector averages. Only 25% still offered any type of pension plan in the private sector, and none of which were as generous as the state's plan.
The Michigan Public Schools Employees Retirement System provides both pension and retirement and health benefits to eligible public school employees. The Michigan Employees Retirement System covers employees of state government. Together, these systems cover more than 500,000 active employees, retirees, and beneficiaries. So a lot of folks are involved in this. How in the world did we get in a position where we're paying out a lot more than we're taking in for this?
These pension plans have kind of this natural cycle of employees. I mean, we have an older workforce in the state government, which means we have a lot more retirees too, and we have less newer people to pay for them when you have these unfunded liabilities. Now, we are fairly good at funding them. We're not for the people that are currently retirees and beneficiaries. They're mostly paid for, at least their pension benefits are. But those retiree health care expenses are what's killing them. I mean, when you add kind of the estimated outflows for this benefit, that $15.1 billion unfunded liability inflates to $55 billion at the highest. But even that's questionable because no one knows what health care costs are going to do, especially with the new federal health care legislation.
James, from what you were able to ascertain, where do we fit in when we look at other states around America?
In the public school employee system, we're about average. There are some places that do it really well. I would like to see Michigan go to something more like Utah has done, where they've essentially said, listen, we're the state taxpayer. We have to represent the state taxpayer's interest, and we are not going to provide anything more to the pension fund other than, I think they had 9%. And right now in Michigan, for school employees, we're at 19%. So there's a pretty big gap there. But for the state employees, we're actually ahead of the curve. In 1997, we decided to phase out our pension plan in favor of a defined contribution plan, much like a 401k, and that one is actually competitive to private sector averages. But for employees that are in that plan, we're still going to be offering them retiree health care, which falls into the same problem. Right now, the retiree health care costs for state employees are equivalent to about 13.4% of what we pay employees in wages. So that's a major unfunded liability, too.
Well, the new budget director is coming from Utah, so maybe he'll bring that plan with him.
Maybe, but it's got to be the legislators that pass these reforms. And they passed some reforms last year. It's just that they didn't really get to the fundamental problem. The state's unfunded liabilities are still going to remain with our latest pension benefits or latest pension reforms. And frankly, by offering these early retirement incentives, which they did, it just adds more pressure on the pension system.
Well, asking taxpayers to cover these liabilities will be a heck of a challenge, especially when you're looking at a budget shortfall that could be way beyond the estimated $1.6 billion we're talking. I've heard $2 billion is more accurate. How long have we known about these challenges, and why have we dragged our feet from your estimations?
Well, for the retiree problems, those really didn't start showing up until the stock market tanked, because when the state's funding these pension plans, they do what everyone else does. They set money aside, and they make investments, and they hope those investments are going to provide a return. And up until a couple of years ago, they were doing fine. The state still wasn't setting money aside for retiree health care, so that was always going to be an issue. But it was only until 2008 that the pension study or the pension issue really became a major factor. Now, alternatively, the state budget's been in problems for the last decade, and the state has essentially done no major structural reforms to address Michigan's overspending problems.
Well, I get a sense that Rick Snyder is definitely going to attack this challenge. Mm-hmm. What do you think needs to be done, James, so that we can get these in line?
Well, we've actually developed a way that Michigan can balance its budgets, repeal the Michigan business tax, fix our roads, and still have money left over without cutting any government program, without firing any government employee, and even without addressing government employee wages. And that's if the state decides to bring public sector benefits down to private sector averages. And if the state did that, it would save $5.7 billion.
Well, have you had any conversations with the new administration?
Well, we're pushing this issue as hard as we can. We're not lobbyists. We try and make it a public issue instead of a private one amongst legislators. So we're doing everything we can. If your listeners are out there, please follow Michigan Capital Confidential. I looked today at how to put that $5.7 billion in context. I mean, it's $5.7 billion is enough to buy every single family in Michigan one of those new 50-inch plasma 3D TVs. So these are big numbers, and I think more people need to be paying attention to them.
James, what's your take on Rick Snyder and the folks that he has assembled in his administration?
I certainly liked a lot of what he was saying on the campaign trail. He cited the Mackinac Center figures a couple of times. I would hope that translates into good policy coming forward. Looking forward to see it. I mean, from my perspective, these last 8 years have not been a good time for Michigan policy. Not a whole lot's been done. It's a lot of status quo government. And I would hope that changes with the new administration, and I'm hopeful that it will. In order for that to happen, people need to be on their guard, need to be watching out for what he's doing, providing support for when he's doing good things, and calling him out when he's doing bad things, or when the legislature's doing bad things. It's a complex system out there in Lansing.
We're talking with James Holman from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, and you're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. James, what's your take on the governor-elect bringing in not only Democrats, but a lot of folks with business and political experience?
I'm all for it. Good ideas do not exist in political parties. It's people that have to come together and bring forth those good ideas. So I don't have a problem at all with assembling the team of people you're confident with. but I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
There are a lot of new legislators coming into the House and into the Senate. Will that inexperience hurt Rick Snyder, or will the new blood and the new ideas and the fresh thinking assist him in his efforts?
You know, I hear a lot about that, but I am not really convinced, especially in the Senate, that these are, you know, greenhorn people that have no experience in government, that have never looked at the state's books before. Because when you look at the people that run for that have run for Senate, they've been to Lansing before. They've been involved in the political process. They are political insiders, regardless of having been term limited out of the House or been in other governmental capacities. So I'm not worried about that fears that we're going to be that Michigan is going to be driven by people without a license. So for the House Republican side, I mean, you have staffers that have been there forever. They can explain these things. Lansing's issues are not that complex, and I'm happy to see that there are a lot of people that don't have the political experience necessary, or that don't have not the political experience, the that don't have the ties that legislators get, which bind them after they get elected. So looking forward to seeing what happens.
And James, I got about a minute left. I wanted to get your take on, it seems that the legislators, not only in the House, but when you look around the country, don't listen to the people until it's election day and they get voted out. Do you get a sense that these folks in state will listen more to what the people want?
I certainly hope so. I mean, the problem that legislators face is that when they're on the campaign trail, they have every incentive to say the right things. But when they get to Lansing, you know, there's a lot of pressure out there. You're constantly getting getting lobbied by people trying to look for favors for their own interest groups. You've got to deal with opposition. You don't know if anyone's going to, if your leadership's going to pick up on good ideas or not. Once you get to Lansing, it's tough to promote good ideas unless they are politically popular.
All right.
And I think a lot of good things are being politically popular.